Hello, this is Jeff Buckles of the 302 Destiny Ministries. We're in Genesis chapter 32, looking at Jacob continuing in his life as we go through some character studies in the Old and the New Testament. We haven't got around to the New Testament yet, but we'll just wait on the Lord for this. We're glad to have you with us, and we appreciate you listening and praying for us. And we hadn't said that to you in a long time, I'm sure, if ever. But we just wanted to let you know. Let's start with a word of prayer again today. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, Lord, and we pray that you teach us from your word what we need to know. Pray that you would guide us, Father, and lead and direct in all that we do, and that you would be glorified in it. Lord, again, we thank you again for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we look here at the life of Jacob, we've seen that he is getting away from his uncle Laban. He has taken his wives, who were Laban's daughters, and he's got out of town, if you will. And God had appeared to Laban as he was pursuing after Jacob, or about to pursue after Jacob, and he said, you cannot touch him. You cannot lay a hand on him. You cannot harm him. And Laban met with Jacob, and they set up a pillar of stones. He says in chapter 31 of Genesis, and they took stones and made a heap and did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jigar Sahudutha. A heap of witness. But Jacob called it Galeed, a heap of witness. Now Laban said, the heap is a witness between me and you this day, therefore was the name of it called Galeed. And Mizpah, the watchtower. For he said, the Lord watched between me and thee when we were absent one from another. So they laid this heap of stones for a witness, and it was called Galeed, after the name that Jacob gave to it, if you'll notice that, not the name that Laban gave to it. And also it was called Mizpah because it was a watchtower. It was a place where was called to witness. And we're going to see a good deal of things called to witness here in the life of Jacob. There is a stone in Bethel he had laid saying, surely this is the house of God. And now we find a heap of stones saying this is a watchtower between Jacob and Laban. Laban tells him to watch over and make sure that you don't afflict my daughters and you take care and take other wives besides my daughters. No man is with us. See, God is witness between me and you. So that this heap of stones just was there as a physical reminder to Jacob and to Laban that we won't cross over these stones, but God is a witness that we cannot do wrong one to another. And Laban said, he's a witness that you won't do wrong to my daughters. And the God of Abraham, of Nahor, the God of their father, judged betwixt us, and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount, called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread, and tarried all night in the mount, and early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. You know, sometimes in our lives, we have to set memorials, if you will. I'm not saying idols in no way, shape, or form, but we have to set memorials to the fact that this will be a witness to what God has done in our life. And this is what Jacob does here and what Laban does, and they call God the witness. I was listening to one fella who was talking about he had a cabinet built, and they would put in that cabinet something that was special that God had done for them that would remind them of that fact of what God had done for them. And over the years, their family has added to this cabinet to the things that are in it, and they bear witness, and they carry on, and they tell their children about it. So every time that Jacob's children and his children's children would come to this heap of stones in the future, it would be there, and it would remind them how God had delivered Jacob out of the hands of Laban, and how that God had brought Jacob back into his land and back to his people and back to his God. And here we are in this story, Jacob headed back to Bethel. Jacob now has turned back from being in a land far away. He has gotten the wives that his parents had seemed to get, or the wife that his parents had seemed to get, though he has more than one. He now is headed back to his homeland, and this should speak to us many times of returning to the Lord. You know, in our lives, sometimes as Christians, we get away from God and we quit doing His will, or we quit doing what He would have us to do. And God turns us around and He shows us and leads us on our way home, just as He promised Jacob, and just as He showed him the way. He begins to show us the way back to Himself. And in Jacob's life, there were two problems. One problem was Laban was hot on his tail, and the other problem was Esau was just before him. And as we said last time, he was between a rock and a hard place. And now God has dealt with the Laban in his life. And how many times when we decide as Christians that we're going to be obedient to God and we're going to turn back to God and we're going to listen to Him, do things come up from behind and nip at our heels? But take comfort, for God will deal with these things. If we're seeking to do His will, the Lord takes care of us. And this is what He has promised. And here is what Jacob found out as he goes to return back to his land and back to his fathers and back to his Lord, that God is now taking care of him. And the past has got caught up with him here. Here Jacob now is between the past with Laban and he's between the past with Esau. When he left Esau, Esau was going to kill him. And here, as far as he knew, Laban was ready to kill him, which he may have had not God spoken to him. But Jacob now has turned back to what God wanted him to do to begin with. He remembers what he had spoken to God about. He remembers his land and he remembers his people and he heads back in that direction, not knowing what's going to happen. The Bible teaches us that we are strangers and pilgrims in this land and in this world. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And many times, whenever we begin to do the will of God and we begin to walk toward God, we don't see, all we can see are bad situations. All we can see are things that would worry us and make us to fret. And this is how Jacob was. And God had to speak to his heart. God had to be with him. God had to work for him. And this is what God will do for us. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, they who were in such dire straits were being persecuted on every side. And I'm sure they were, as Jacob was, worried about what had happened and what was going to happen. And Paul says to them that, don't worry yourselves, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. Take comfort, for He is going to return, and we will be with Him. Now Jacob here, in chapter 32 and verse 1, it says, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, and when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means two hosts, two armies, if you will. Here he was with his group of people, and he meets the host of God, the angels of God, the army of God. And he names the place after this. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, to the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks, and men servants, women servants. I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands, and said, If Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. Now, before we go any farther, we had mentioned before that Jacob had a long way to go. Jacob, the shyster, the conniver, the supplanter, is always going about trying to find his way to work out what God has said. Here God has sent him back. He sends word to Esau. The messengers return and say, your brother's coming. And he's coming with 400 men with him. Well, of course, Jacob's terrified. When he last saw his brother, he was going to kill him. Now he sends word to his brother, brother, I'm on my way back. And he sends 400 men. He comes with 400 men to meet him. Well, this is nothing short of an army. And Jacob was greatly distressed and afraid. Well, automatically, Jacob comes up with an immediate plan. He splits his people into two companies. And he figures if Esau kills one group of us, the other group will get away. See, Jacob has already came up with his plan. Now look in verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and of the truth, all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now I want you to notice here, Jacob has came up with his plan, and now he begins to pray to God, and he says to the Lord, Lord, you promised me. And he goes across the promises that God had given to him, and he reminds God of what he had said to him. You promised me my children would be like the sand upon the seashore in multitude. Lord, you promised me, you told me to return to my country and to my kindred. And Jacob now leans upon the promises of God in his prayer. Well, our time's up together. Be with us next time. This is Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads of Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you for being with us once again. This entire week, our brother Jeff Buckles will be leading the study with Old Testament Bible characters as he's looking at Jacob this week. From Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. Our gearbox is 689.